Revelation Revealed, Part 4, Section 51, The Three Angels, Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 13. Verse 6 reads, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people." The question now should be asked, why is an angel preaching the eternal gospel? Well, we don't really know for sure. My guess is because this battle that's taking place here on earth is more than a battle between men. It's a battle between demons and angels. Therefore, angels are actually involved in preaching the gospel. Here it's called the eternal gospel. The gospel, as we see it in the New Testament, is a multifaceted gospel. We see it's called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace. Here, the eternal gospel. It's called many things throughout the New Testament. It's a good study to study really what the gospel is, because it's a bit more complicated than evangelicals has made it out to be. Verse 7, "He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come.'" Well, in actuality, it's about to come, but when God says it's going to come in a short period of time, you might as well conclude that it has come. "Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water." Darwin took away God from the cultural consciousness of the Western world, and this verse says, you guys better start worshiping the God who created the world and all that is therein. Darwin was wrong. 8. "A second angel followed him and said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries.'" Now, we'll talk more about Babylon when we get to chapter 17 and 18, but this is the pronouncement of its fall. Verse 9, "A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out in full into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast in his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name." Now, two things here: receiving the mark and worshiping the beast. Those who receive the mark and worship the beast will be tormented forever and ever. That's talking about the lake of fire. The question here is asked, well, what if somebody is tricked into receiving the mark? I don't believe you will be tricked, because receiving the mark is associated with worship. So one who receives the mark acknowledges the fact that he is going to worship the Antichrist. Well, what about this? What about if a mentally disabled person receives the mark unknowingly? What happens to that person? Well, all I can say about that is God is just. Verse 12, "This calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commandments and remain faithful to Jesus." During this time of the Great Tribulation, we're entering the last half, the worst half, there will be great torment, sorrow for the saints. Even as verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.'" Many Christian believers will be martyred in the last half of the tribulation for the sake of the Lord. And the angel says that is a blessed thing. Christians don't look to be martyred, but when martyrdom comes, that is their ultimate testimony. That is a blessed event. "Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor," they meaning those who have been martyred for the Lord, for their deeds will follow them. Their good works will follow them into the next life.